Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 142 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her emotional success. Yeah, you heard me right. This is going to be a wonderful episode. I've really been looking forward to it. Before we start on in, just know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after this episode and rate and review us because I'm waiting to hear from you. Love your feedback. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
So I'm holding in my hot hands, my hot little hands, a book that I just love. It's called Emotional Success, The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. Yeah. So, you know, when I first read about this, it was in the New York Times, and it was all about, oh gosh, have I been able to really fulfill my resolutions for the year, or just fulfill my resolutions, period. So how about that? Just sort of doing it with hardcore grit, you know, just grind your teeth through this one. How about that discipline? Come on, you can do it. Turns out we were all wrong. Whoops. And this book and the author, Dr. David DeSteno, is someone who is going to help set the record straight. Dr. DeSteno is a professor of psychology at Northeastern University. He's a fellow of the American Psychological Association, where he is editor-in-chief of the journal Emotion. His work has appeared in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Pacific Standard, and more. And most importantly, he has gifted us with his brand new book, Emotional Success. Dr. DeSteno, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
All right, so we're going to dig right in here. Now, what is with this whole thing about self-control? What's the matter with you? Grit, perseverance, you know, all of those things surely underlie success. This is how you get through life. But you're saying, nope, that's not the way it works?
Well, I'm saying, yeah, the ability to persevere toward your goals, whether it's to eat healthy or to exercise or to save money for retirement, things that aren't fun in the moment but pay benefits in the long term, that is the way to success. It's just how we're going about it, I think, is problematic. And as you were saying in that New York Times piece, you know, if grit and kind of willpower worked so well, then, you know, 25% of resolutions wouldn't be over by now. And, you know, 10% of them only last till the year's end. And, you know, on any given day, one out of five times we try to resist the temptation to do something that distracts us from our goals, we fail. And if, you know, long-term success is so important to people, there's got to be a better way to do it. And I'm arguing that it's not through kind of willpower and planning, but it's through cultivating specific emotional states that make us focus on the future.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to tell you that I went ahead and I posted your book and all of this wonderful work, you know, your messaging on my Facebook page, for Dr. Pam Peek. I'm telling you right now, I mean, people went wild over this. They're like, thank God it wasn't, you know, I don't feel so bad about the fact that I'm not some highly overly disciplined person that truly,
yeah.
The way to get through all of this is to be able to take up gratitude, compassion, and pride. I think that people really needed to hear that. And
well,
I'm telling you, it resonated.
I'm happy to hear that. You know, I mean, if you think about it, the point I make, if you think about it, for thousands of years, what ensured human success? It was the ability to, you know, form relationships with other people, to cooperate with them, to have people help you out. And what are the emotions that underlie that? Well, to do that, you had to be honest, you had to be fair, you had to be willing to invest in other people for the long term. And it's emotions like gratitude and compassion, and not arrogance, but authentic feelings of pride in your ability, that helps you do that. And what we're finding now is that these emotions don't only make you willing to invest and help other people, but they make you also willing to invest in and help your own future self. And whether we're talking about health or diet or saving money or working hard, all of that requires a willingness to kind of forego some pleasure in the moment for these future gains. And I'm arguing that it's not through willpower, but through these emotions. I mean, people do very hard things, often not because they think they should, but because they feel they should. And I think emotions are a powerful source of motivation.
You know, you hear so much about self-control. You know, why don't you practice better self-control? Damn it. You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And yet you say self-control mm-hmm. did not evolve to help us get better grades, save for retirement, or complete the whole 30. So I think a lot of people out there, especially women, because we tend toward perfection, right? That we're saying to ourselves, we're not perfectly under control, self-control, back and forth. Yet you say that what does matter for success is having strong social bonds, and that, you know, you mentioned again, and that requires being honest, fair, kind, generous, and in short, not being all about you or selfish. So what is the role of self-control? Help us understand that.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, if you think about it in the moment, let me give you an example. If I borrow some money from you, Pam, and I don't pay you back, I'm ahead in the moment, but you're probably never going to want to interact with me again. And so I'm going to lose all the benefits of that relationship I'd have over time. And so, you know, cooperating with people, supporting other people requires you to be willing to sacrifice. So if you feel grateful to people, our work shows, you know, you're more than willing to pay them back, to work hard, even to pay it forward to help other people. If you feel compassion towards someone, you're willing to give them support, time, money, effort, a shoulder to cry on. If you feel pride about your abilities, you'll persevere on these tasks to develop them. And we have lots of data showing this. You know, for example, in our lab, we'll bring people in and we'll offer them small amounts of money now, or they can invest it for large amounts of money later. And if we make them feel grateful, they're much more willing to wait for that future gain, right, than take the small amount of money now and run with it. So it's better with impulse buys and all of those. But you hit on an important point. One of the big problems we're facing right now in this country is loneliness and a lack of connection to other people. And when you cultivate these emotions in your life, I like to say they don't only give you grit, but they give you grace. That is, they make you behave in ways that other people find attractive, and they help form relationships and reinforce those relationships and make people have a community around them, which is important not only for individual success, but also for, you know, your community success and your long-term well-being. We know loneliness is about as bad for you in terms of health and longevity as it is smoking. And so I think all this nose to the grindstone, self-flagellation when we fail idea of just do something hard and force yourself to do it is the wrong way. And it's making us criticize ourselves, feel terrible about ourselves, not interact with other people because we're always focused on our work. And I think through cultivating these emotions, they help you not only persevere toward the long term, but they build those relationships that are important to you to help you along the way.
Oh, God. Couldn't have said it better myself. And, you know, segueing off that, you also say that it's true that, yeah, the gritty among us fail less often. We're gritty, right? But when they do, the drop in their psychological well-being is 120% greater than others. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Sure. Well, it's true. You know, people who work really hard are willing to sacrifice and put their nose to the grindstone. They will fail less often because they're working hard. But when they fail, research shows that the hit to their well-being is much greater. And I think it's because they haven't cultivated those social relationships that are there to support all of us. There's this other great study. Well, it's not great. It's kind of in some ways a little depressing. They looked at depression and suicidal ideation in college students. And right now, you know, unfortunately, college students are reporting high levels of anxiety and depression. What they found is those who are gritty, it has no effect on their degree of suicidal ideation. But if they combine a feeling of grittiness with a feeling of gratitude, that is, they cultivate gratitude to reinforce their desire to persevere, that actually does decrease depression and suicidal ideation. And so my argument isn't that being gritty or trying to achieve long-term goals isn't important. It surely is. But we're going about it the wrong way by not kind of focusing on these emotions. You know, people who practice compassion, it shows they procrastinate less, they eat better, they persevere longer in exercise. Same goes for gratitude and pride. And so if you're trying to build not only head toward long-term goals for your physical health or your career or your, you know, lots of resolutions are wanting to be a better person, cultivating these emotions is the way to go. And it's also less stressful on the body because you're not always trying to fight a desire. You know, you're not always feeling like you're fighting yourself. There's this great work by a guy named Greg Miller at Northwestern University where he looked at kids from disadvantaged backgrounds. And what he found is those who are using kind of self-control to resist temptations and willpower, they can succeed in the short term, but the stress of doing that over time results in kind of premature aging of their immune system. And so, you know, what that basically means is, yes, you'll succeed in the short term, but you're not going to be as around in the long term to enjoy that success. And so I think we need to reframe the tools we're using to succeed in life.
I love it. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about grateful grittiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting concept. You know,
well, you know, if you think about grit, right, where does it come from? I think about grit. I don't think about the person who's trying to, you know, save money for retirement, study for a test. I think about, you know, the mom, single mom who's working three jobs to, you know, put her kid through college, or the grandfather who has emphysema who's dragging an oxygen tank behind him to see his grandchild's first performance. I mean, what moves us to do these sacrifices is emotion. And if we don't realize that, and if we're always just trying to rely on logic and willpower, we're fighting with one hand tied behind our back, and I think it's the stronger hand.
You know, it's interesting. In the studies of the great centenarians, the longevity studies, one of the things you do see mm-hmm. is a tremendous amount of these three particular emotions, and that is, you know, I was lucky enough to go to Nicoya, which is one of the blue zones, and this one is in Costa Rica, and met Panchita, who's all of 109 years old, and looked at seven generations of her family who are alive right
wow.
now, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you that a sense of gratitude and compassion mm-hmm. and pride in what mm-hmm. they do. Here's a beautiful example mm-hmm. of tremendous grit. I mean, for many years before she became super, super old, I mean, she just walked 3 miles a day to get to and from a specific grocery type store. Never there was no, you know, moaning and whining about it. It was like you did it because that's what you had to do. You had your own animals. You had your own garden. Got up in the morning with the little crack of dawn thing going on. I mean, you know, you did it. But you were grateful because you were surrounded with loving family and you had the chance mm-hmm. to do it. You had the land. You had the little, you know, humble home, but it was your own abode and on and on. The compassion point that you brought up beautifully in your book, Emotional Success, involves not just, I think it's really easy to a certain degree, relatively speaking, to have compassion for others. You know, you hear about a terrible thing happening and back and forth. I think a lot of people have a huge problem, especially women, with self-compassion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of mm-hmm. going to that
yeah.
place. Tell me about that.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You know, compassion isn't only for others. It's also for yourself. And, you know, with this whole model of kind of willpower and grit, when we fail, we tend to blame ourselves, which basically causes a stress response and feelings of shame, which then, we know, stress makes it harder to then use self-control the next time because the mind is passive and it just becomes more difficult to use. what the research shows is people who practice self-compassion. And by self-compassion, I don't mean forgiving yourself for not even trying, but I mean for trying your best, but when you fail, realizing that that's okay, and it's having compassion for yourself and trying again. That's associated with, less procrastination, better exercise and diet, more willingness to persevere toward whatever long-term goal you're feeling. And what I'm trying to tell people is cultivate these emotions in how you treat others and yourself. And what they'll do is foster your patience, right? They'll make you value whatever long-term goals you're confronted with. And, we find that by having people count their blessings, right, and feel gratitude, not only are they more willing to help other people, they're more willing to work on tasks to better themselves. They're more willing to save money rather than spend it on an impulse buy. They're more willing to exercise. It just nudges the mind to resist the temptation for immediate gratification. And it gives you that push to kind of say, this is what's important in my life. I value that long-term goal. Let me just work toward that.
I love what you just said, because it reminds me once again, so many people basically fall down that slippery slope of hopelessness, helplessness, and defeat when they feel as though, and this is women, hello, that we haven't been, and I quote, perfect, and that we basically are black and white. We're either perfect or we're nothing. And so we throw it, throw it in there and just say to hell with it. And blow it, and either continue a binge or just blow off our self-care one way or the other, no matter what it is. When we do that, we lose complete sight of the future. We're living, as a reaction to what just happened. And I think compassion helps correct that, because it's like, cut yourself some slack, man. You had a hell of a day. You just slugged it out through the snow to get home. Yeah. It took an hour and a half where it should have taken 45 minutes. And you made it home. Rock on. You did really well. And you need a bath right now. What you don't need is to sit there and binge in front of the television as a reaction to the stress you were just blah, blah, blah. Right. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And I think it's harder for us to do it for ourselves sometimes. If you saw a child crying in front of you because you're seeing that pain, it's easier to kind of direct compassion toward that person. You have to think, what would you tell yourself if you were looking at yourself and having this bad day? If I saw someone else come home and have this terrible day, I feel compassion for them. But it's harder for us to kind of reflect on it in our own feelings. And I think self-compassion is hugely important. And, I was talking to, sometimes when you're trying to study, anything, it makes sense to go to the top. And so when we were studying self-control, we thought who better to ask than Buddhist monks who are all about, getting rid of desire. And so when I talked to the monks, what they told me something interesting, mindfulness, meditation, yes, it'll lower your blood pressure. Yes, it'll help your memory. Excuse me. But that's not why it was created. Why it was created was to end suffering. And so we have lots of data showing how meditation and practicing mindfulness increases just spontaneous feelings of compassion for yourself and others. And so this is something that we kind of urge people to do. And when the monks said, when you start feeling compassion, that's when self-control becomes easy, because those desires to either have an immediate gratification or to beat yourself up for a failure kind of go away. And just like you're willing to invest and help other people who are in pain, you're willing to actually pay attention to your own pain and help yourself do the right thing to get out of it rather than add to it.
Yeah, when you're thinking of what's going on in the brain, when you've got the fight and flight response from the good old amygdala, doing its little thing, you've got the prefrontal cortex, our little CEO of the brain, saying, damn it, get yourself organized, plan, strategize, and at the same time, you want to develop that compassion that says, wait a minute, everybody just relax here. You're making me crazy.
And what we're saying is, every advice you get from all those bestsellers out there on goals is use that prefrontal cortex, use that CEO to kind of, yell at yourself and keep yourself going. But what I'm arguing is, if we cultivate these emotions, we don't have to worry about that CEO, right? What it does is it makes us value our future goals more than we normally would. And if we value them more, then we just want to head toward them. We're not trying to have to fight and pull ourselves toward them. We just value them more. If we value something more, we're going to aim our compass toward it and head that way.
I love it. Well, you know, when I was writing that Facebook piece giving a major shout out to your book and your work, one of the things that I found was that when I was dealing with the third emotion, which is pride, I had to be very careful about how I describe that, because pride, you don't want it to be, you know, hubris. What you want is you want what I called authentic pride, and that is pride achievement, but not going overboard. Can you talk about pride a little bit? Because I think of the three, that was the one where especially women were having problems, because so many people, especially women, oftentimes don't want to toot their own little horn there. And they feel as though they're starting to go into a selfish, self-centered place if they even say the word pride. So go to that place for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It always does seem like the odd one out. But your this distinction you're setting up is exactly the correct one. I mean, any emotion, if you experience it in the wrong context or the wrong intensity, is a problem. Even happiness, right? If you experience it too much when you shouldn't, we call that mania. It's a disorder. Just that pride, we have a word for it, right? When you're feeling proud about skills you don't have or trying to be too arrogant. And so you're exactly right. When we're proud of an ability, of a skill that we develop, it is something that we should feel that emotion for. And why do we feel that emotion? It's because that emotion marks us as having some talent, skill, or ability that those around us value. You know, you see it with your kids. When kids are first learning things, they look to their mom or dad to say, is this something important? And if you praise them for it, they learn that this is something important to do. The negative side of that we call peer pressure, but the positive side is an authentic pride for helping you build, you know, this emotion about things you care about. You just have to be careful to not let it go to your head and to not assume that because you're good at one thing, you're good all around. And pride's original source was to help us do things and develop abilities and work hard to do them that those around us valued and made us good partners to people. And so when we make people proud in the lab about, you know, these abilities that they wouldn't normally care about, like solving puzzles or math problems, they'll persevere longer on difficult ones because they feel like this is something valued by my group. If I do this, I'll be more connected to my group. And it just helps them with perseverance in a way that is just much more spontaneous and automatic than having that CEO kind of your mind just kind of crack the whip over you.
All right. Now I got a really cool one. And that is, what is the difference between a resume virtue and a eulogy virtue?
Yeah. So this is a term, I think David Brooks was the first to use these terms, but lots of people use them. And so, you know, resume virtues are those virtues that we consider important to kind of get ahead in the world, you know, working hard, you know, hard-nosed, aggressive, you know, willing to work all night, not sleep, you know, all of these things. And then eulogy virtues are the ones that you want to be remembered for, right? You don't want at your funeral somebody to say, he was a hard worker. He kept his nose to the grindstone. You want to be remembered as someone who's fair and kind and generous. And because of the way we structure our lives these days, they seem like completely different sets of virtues, but I think that's because of the way we live, right? If you practice these emotions, things like gratitude and compassion and pride in your work, they help you do both. You know, not only are they going to give you the grit to work hard, they're going to give you the grace in your behavior so that other people find you someone attractive to work with. You know, when we have people who are proud of their abilities and we put them in working groups, other people find them attractive. They want to trust them. They want to work with them. Same with gratitude and pride. And so I think it's a way to get a more balanced success, right? One that's not just kind of alpha male dominated, go, 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 but a success that when you look back on your life is going to feel more balanced and one less full of regret.
Oh, man, I love this. Well, you know, I just, the ending of the book, there was a paragraph here that I just want to share with everyone as we're bringing this to a close. And at the very end, you said, what I'm saying in essence is that by cultivating these emotions, we will be planting the seeds for other virtues to grow. These three emotions are the engines of character. They boost self-control and related traits that together contribute to the development of a person ready to meet whatever obstacles life puts in the way. And as a result, using these states will facilitate a lasting, balanced and resilient success in whatever endeavors you undertake, for example, professional career, creative pursuits, parenting, while also drawing other people close to you. In short, using them will give you not only grit, but grace. It will ensure that you'll maximize not only your resume virtues, but your eulogy ones as well. Boy, I'll tell you something, David. You said it perfectly. I mean, that just captured the whole damn thing. I mean, well done. Just kudos to you. All right, everyone out there in her podcast land, for crying out loud, grab this book. Now, you can go to my Facebook page, Dr. Pam Peake, and you can see the kind of comments and the great stuff that came out of my posting on this, because I just loved it. And apparently everyone else did too out there in Facebook land too.
Well, thank you very much. The name of the book?
Yeah. Well, hey, major shout out for great work. The name of the book is Emotional Success, The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. And it's written by Dr. David DeSteno. And if you want to learn more about his wonderful work, just go to his website, for crying out loud. It's Dave DeSteno. That's D-A-V-E, then it's D-E, and then S as in Sam, T-E-N-O.com. And obviously go on over to Amazon and get the damn book right now. That's an order. Okay, you heard that? Oh, David, thank you so much for being on Her.
Thank you.
All right, and everyone out there in Her podcast land, remember to catch every episode of Her by just hitting subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. Now, right now, run on over to iTunes right now. Rate and review this really terrific segment we did on emotional success. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peake and on Twitter at Pam Peake MD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.